Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Design First Builders. Visit designfirstbuilders.com.
Maybe I'm attracted to chickens. I don't know.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi.
And one of our favorite White Sox fans, Shane Reardon, is now all pissed at me. He'll realize I'm right. If you follow Shane on Twitter, you know he was posting pictures of his food. He showed the smoked salmon that he did, and then he did whole chickens, whole smoked, rubbed and smoked chickens, and they came out just a... It's just, if you watch the chicken video, do me a favor, go to Shane's Twitter, watch the chicken video, and tell me if there isn't something a little uncomfortable about it.
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest.
I don't know. The position and the way the camera lingered.
Chill.
And I'm not quite sure if maybe I'm attracted to chickens. I don't know.
That's absolutely true.
Is that a disease?
And we may have to nominate the love of a chicken.
Well, let's explain that, Dan, before we just throw that out.
They look delicious. These adorable pictures of, I have to say, objectively a pretty cute chicken. Not that I wouldn't eat it.
Well, that everybody's gonna deliver.
It's the angle of the camera. That's what makes it.
Chill.
Like, oh, here we go.
Gross.
Let's get a look here.
Nobody was thinking this until you said it.
Shane's line. Shane's chickens bring all the boys to the yard.
Oh my God.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
With Bernstein and really Mahimi.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Well, for those of you who came here for White Sox talk, I'm going to throw some numbers out at you while Dan collects himself.
No, I want to see the response to this. I'm retweeting it.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh my goodness, that was filthy.
There were some little radio games being played there by the long memory of Jordan Malley, because if you were listening carefully, he was commingling commentary about the picture of Addie Zawoski with her friend the chicken in there. So there were some games being played. I know how radio works. I've been on the other side of it too, but that was some careful and clever radio magic weaving that thing together.
That was an art form. Also, because I enjoy James Fegan's not just dry martini, as you put it, Dan, sense of humor, but like desert dry. When he said in Crosstalk, just,
Yep.
Priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless. I love Fegan on today.
We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studio. Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. And we are going to talk some White Sox. We're going to talk the full world of baseball with Craig Calcaterra at 10, because we now know what the quote-unquote crackdown is going to be by MLB on those dirty, awful cheaters and their icky, sticky goo. We'll have some... some Bears talk too. Midway at 10:40. I have an update on the story I did yesterday. Remember the guy in the mouth of the whale?
Oh yeah.
There's more to that.
I have a convoluted tale. It's a conundrum. You guys will be into it.
Eldon Ham will tell us what he thinks about what baseball is trying to do and what baseball players have been trying to do and how it all fits together at 11 o'clock. Some Cubs talk after that and some surprises along the way. As always, 312-644-6767 is our number. We call that the Score Listener Line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Your emails can be sent to BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? Please do. Your texts go to the text zone, which is powered by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at BernsteinRahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact on Facebook if you have the stomach for that lowest common denominator of human communication. And the real fun is on Twitch, as you know, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertsch coordinate the video feed and moderate the chat. Jay Zawoski is in the executive producer's chair because he's the executive producer. It's funny how that works. Not a coincidence. And Jordan Malley is our talented sound man doing the things that he does. Yeah, a couple of very unsatisfying losses last night, but pretty simple. There was no real... No silliness, nothing went sideways. Cubs and Sox just got beat. Happens.
By teams that we wanted to see how they would fare against them. So when we wanted the pitching matchup, which I was excited to watch, of Tyler Glasnow and Lance Lynn, and then on the other side of things in Queens, you had the Cubs playing, facing Jake Arrieta, and it wasn't the result you wanted. You're not concerned about Peterson in this when it comes to the Mets rotation. You're concerned about guys like Taijuan Walker and Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, there are ones that you write the L in there as a likely loss. That was not one of them. That's one you think you get that one. But again, baseball. Things happen in this game because of variance, and variance can bite you.
True. But when it comes to the I don't want to be on a roller coaster type of attitude, you still want to see patterns, and you still want to see how you're going to measure individuals' performances, regardless of the win or loss, against teams of that caliber. And James brings up the best point about the Sox having their injuries. It still doesn't take away from what you're trying to see. At-bats against pitchers like that, performances out of the bullpen. Tampa, man, if it's not a well-developed starter, it is their relief pitchers that are just fantastic. Fire Rising, I joked and sent a text to my friend saying, this Fire Island guy is really good.
This Fire Island guy's dealing.
But that's what we're talking about. For all the Garrett Crochets that you want to see pitch, and you hope Michael Kopech comes back reasonably soon, contending teams have that type of talent too. And it's good to get to know who they are as well.
I'm looking at some numbers here for your mean Mercedes, and we know in March and April, he was a monster, that he had a WRC plus of 208. In May, his WRC plus was 76, and his numbers in June, we're through half of June right now. These are his June numbers. He's batting 162, on base 225, slugging 189. His WRC plus is 21 in June. He has been a bad player because that's all he is weighted runs created plus. He is only an offensive player. That's what his measurement. He's offense. There's no defense. There's no anything else. And he has been brutal.
The most frustrating at bat for me was when there's two on in the fifth inning, and he strikes out swinging. It was 94 up and outside. That's what you want to see. He's looking for that high fastball there. So how is he going to adjust to the adjustment? And they need him to. Because if you thought that you needed him before, thanks to all these injuries, you now absolutely need him more.
And his start covered for a lot. His start, remember the stuff we were talking about? Wow, what do you do when everybody's back? You don't have room for everybody. This is a full-on exposure in front of our eyes. exposure. And I know that this is going to get to the discussion of La Russa and what he did after the Williams Astudillo home run on 3-0 and missing the sign and all of that stupidity. And I think it's probably more coincidental than it is causal. But I understand why people say, look, this is an emotional player who needs to play with that level of swagger and bravado and confidence, who likes to live his own legend, and that helped puncture the balloon a little bit. I can't say you're wrong. I think it's probably more just Major League Baseball is hard, and pitchers can watch video of you, and the book is out, and they find you, and it happens. But you can't. I can't rule it out completely. I can't say it's entirely coincidental.
The person that we should be talking about to lead a Sox conversation in the middle of June against a contending team that's leading the AL East is not your main Mercedes. That's not who we should be talking about to start. And that's the problem.
Well, when Yoan Moncada is out with nasal congestion or whatever it is, he's their best player. You know, it's hard to play without your best player.
Far and away. But the injuries have led us to this point where you start to zero in on guys and have certain expectations that perhaps are unrealistic. We have to observe what's going on offensively with him, but we also, given the construction of this roster, shouldn't be the discussion right now, but we are where we are.
That's why I have steeled myself for a rough patch here, because there's just a lot of guys in their lineup who aren't very good.
Well, you had, at that point, Jake Lamb on the bench, and I believe Zach Collins. But, like, do you really want to go ahead and start switching in the fifth?
Ideally, no. And you still want to give Yermin every chance to right these wrongs and figure himself out. It's possible that he's not going to. It's possible that the exposure is just what it is, and that becomes permanent. And you had a nice month and a half, and you should celebrate that. And that's the peak of his career. And they have a sandwich called the Yerminator, and there you go.
But I have a real concern when the 5-9 batters are as follows, starting with the 154 hitter, and we all know his weighted runs created plus is totally different, in Yasmani Grandal, Adam Eaton, Andrew Vaughn, Larry Garcia, and then Danny Mendick.
That's bad. That's bad. Yeah, that's ultimately not a very good team.
Facing Tyler Glasnow, who only got seven strikeouts before he left the game laboring with his arm, and had 11 his start before. This is how you measure against a contending team. I care because it's June. I like to get hyped for stuff like this. It's why we're in the business we're in.
Well, let's see what Lance Lynn thinks of that. And let's hear about, want to hear from Liam Hendricks too, as he sang a familiar refrain that is going to fall on some sympathetic ears, I think. We'll hear from some White Sox. Next, Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You mentioned this being a kind of a mid-June challenge. As part of the mindset of not make this, bigger than it is. You guys kind of know what team you are, regardless of, how these three games go necessarily.
Yeah, it's June. No one gives a
Lance Lynn telling it like it is, and why shouldn't he? It's baseball. Not every game is some sort of bellwether. We tend to look at larger groups of games as significant, looking at trends, looking at months. And like I say, you've been around the game long enough. You feel the big moments. You know them when you feel them. And sometimes I got to check myself, and I think I felt a big moment, and I'm wrong. And next thing you know, they win six in a row. They lose six in a row, and you got to be reminded that baseball is going to take time to show what it is. Bernstein and Rahimi, we are here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. But Lance Lynn had more to say after that outing. He was fine, right? He could give when he left, it was what, 6-3 earned, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 70% correlation to victory that he did doing his job. But I guess he said he can probably do better, but doesn't want to try too hard.
No, I find that if you try to elevate your game, you'll try too hard, and then weird stuff will happen. So you just got to literally know what you're good at, how you're good at it, and how to make sure you get in those situations. And that's part of the growing process of knowing what you're capable of and how you're going to be able to go about executing it day in and day out, no matter what team you're playing. A team that has some younger guys that might not be there yet when it comes to MLB experience, they're going to make some mistakes, and you're going to be able to get away with stuff. When you play a team that know, it was in the World Series last year. You got to make sure you, when you get the mistake, you don't miss it type thing. And that's, or, you know, you don't allow, you know, I made a few mistakes tonight and gave up three runs early. You just don't do those things. And then you'll be right in the ballgame.
The home runs to Meadows and to Lowe is what he's referring to. And that did put them in a bit of a jam. But the difference is you always know that you're going to still watch even when they're down two or three runs in the seventh or eighth inning. Like, that's the difference with a contending team and a not contending team. I don't need Lance Lynn to be absolutely perfect every time he's out there.
He was fine. He pitched well enough that you expect him to generate some runs, especially when Glasnow goes out with elbow stiffness. And I know it's a terrific bullpen, but when it's unexpected that way and guys are scrambling, guys are hurried into the game, like we saw after Pukki was taken out in the Detroit game, where that other guy came in and just went to the zoo. That's usually a time when the other team's out of their rhythm.
Well, the difference is we're talking about Tampa versus Detroit.
Right, we're also talking about a real baseball team instead of one that's tanking.
White Sox fans have seen their fair share of pitchers who you knew were not going to be a part of a bullpen that was significant. And frankly, at this point, I'm more concerned about the lineup than the bullpen, even after what we've seen. I saw enough out of Crochet. I know there were a couple of mistakes there. The high fastball to Rosarena, that was his first home run he ever allowed. But when it comes to what we're seeing out of the pen, I'm okay with it right now. The triage is in that lineup and trying to figure out what happens. Good news about Eloy Jimenez, but we don't know how that's going to progress yet, especially when you consider like Adam Engel and his comeback recently and how long that took.
And that was a conventional injury. It was a bad injury, but at least a hamstring. There's a book on a hamstring. The way Eloy hurt himself, this is in large part uncharted. It reminds me a little bit, and not to sort of damn him with this, but when Jake Peavy was the first pitcher anybody to see with a torn latissimus, and we had to go to orthopedists who treated tennis players.
A torn lat for everybody at home.
Latissimus dorsi or lat was the muscle that Jake Peavy had the issue with, and I remember the doctors that we talked to at the time said, we really haven't seen this from a baseball pitcher before. And similarly, with what is going on with Eloy, we're going to need to know that. That's his front side. Now that's his pull stroke with the hand at the bottom of the bat. So getting back to baseball activities is great. We just don't know how it's going to go. You know, we don't know how those baseball activities are going to be for him.
And when it comes to the team on the field, you need more than five hits to face a team like the Rays. You need more than just one hit from Tim Anderson, or two hits from Tim Anderson, rather. One hit from Goodwin. And then you have to look to Garcia and Mendick for the other two. That is not the production you want. I don't care what pitcher it's against or what staff it's against, but the Rays bullpen is excellent, and reports of their demise were greatly exaggerated. I came away watching that game understanding that they could afford to lose Blake Snell, and that's disturbing. Like, that's how you measure your real contending teams from the ones who will make it to the playoffs but maybe won't sustain.
There are White Sox fans also who are wondering, where is everybody? Why aren't people paying attention to this, that you have these two terrific teams that are squaring off, and because they're not sort of marquee teams with giant fan bases, the national attention isn't there. And this was a note, Matt Spiegel posted this on Twitter last night, where he said, ESPN has cut into Cubs-Mets to give us a Nats-Pirates update. And a little while ago ran a graphic with tonight's notable games that did not include the two best teams in the American League, starting Glasnow and Lynn. And his conclusion was the National White Sox disrespect is real.
That's bull. Dear bull.
We've sat here, and not just me sitting here talking to you. We as a collective have sat here and talked about ESPN's forgetfulness when it comes to the White Sox.
Erasure.
Like, I don't know.
Members of Erasure.
Give me a little respect. I don't think that is any new news.
A lot of this happened when the Cubs were on the cusp of winning the World Series, and all the national graphics were showing, like, Chicago baseball championships, Chicago sports championships, and everybody forgot the White Sox won the World Series.
And you know what? This is going to sound really bad, but when you want to understand about, like, cutbacks and layoffs, it's and replacing people with people, that's when like the graphics person being younger and forgetting about the 2005 White Sox is a thing. That's when you kind of see that show up. But I like where Liam Hendricks is speaking from, because he doesn't just have experience with that here. Oh, no. No, he's been dealing with that with the three-time World Series champion in the past 15 years, Giants.
Liam, are you and the rest of the team getting a feel that you're getting a national attention because of what, besides uniforms, but what you're doing on the field?
I mean, a little bit, yes and no. I feel like we have to take four steps to get any sort of national recognition, while our cross-town rivals just have to put together one game and then they'll get on it. But I've dealt with that the last 6 years of my career. It's anything new to me, but I actually enjoy that. I like being able to have to work harder to get any recognition, because that just means you have to put in the work. You really have to show that you're doing it to be able to do that. And that's just one of those things. It's like we have that chip on our shoulders. Like, you guys can continue to talk about who is the number one team in the city, the number one fan base in the city, whatever it is, but we're going to go out there, we're going to do our business, and we're going to let everybody know how good we are.
That's just red meat for White Sox fandom right there. He's like, yeah, he's right. The Cubs, you do. They got all the column inches. They get all the headlines. I mean, it's just red meat.
Is he wrong? Because on Monday Night Baseball, instead of having the two division champions, division leaders, mm-hmm. especially in the AL East, in the Rays, instead you have Mets and Cubs. So it's the big markets versus New York, mm-hmm. versus the teams that are leading their division.
No, and he's right too about how this mirrors what goes on in the Bay Area, where you've got the one big team and the other sort of American League stepchild, where people are like, yeah, we're not going to go to that park. That's not, and you get all the muttering about it. There are definitely a lot of parallels there between the two, because you know the tonier one side of the city, and the just looking at zip codes and where people want to move and where people want to be. There's some truth to that. It's if you've been out there, you know it.
It also has to do with the fact that the Giants won three World Series 7 years apart.
That helps. Yeah.
Like that's the big news there. Is when you win every other year for a stretch, that's and frankly, nobody's had that kind of stretch of dominance in World Series since. But I find it comical. I know the Cubs are tied with the Brewers leading their division, but you guys know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, the Rays far and away are at the top of the AL East.
Yeah, I think the Rays in sports are one of the, if you have to graph the axis of the axes of quality of work that they do and success with the number of people who care, they may be at the far reaches of it, of a team that's been sustained quality and really been that good, and it's just a shrug. And most people have no idea who's on their team or what they do or why they do it nationally. There's a handful of those every once in a while, but like, you never get an NFL team like that, because everybody knows everything and just eats up everything about the NFL. It's rare to toil in obscurity and be that great the way somehow the Rays have done.
There's also just an East Coast bias for baseball. And so then the recognizable teams, and on the East Coast, the Mets are one of them. I do not blame ESPN for choosing Mets and Cubs. That's as good of a matchup, too. No, you just have this confluence in this moment where you can argue for both easily.
I also find it interesting here, at least my experience in Chicago over 26 years, is that people in sports media, people who cover baseball and other sports in this town, for large part have been disproportionately Sox fans. Even understanding that it's your job to cover that the Cubs have more fans, and you always have to be aware of that, and you knowing you got to let some of that go and whatever you grew up with. But I don't know why that is. Is there something similar in New York with Mets Yankees?
Yeah, there's a lot of Mets fans who are in the media there too. In fact, our guy, Mad Dog Russo, is one of them.
I wonder why that is.
I wouldn't say it necessarily. I don't want to ascribe him a fandom, but he does say that New York is a better place when the Mets are winning.
And the way,
as if the Yankees are just,
because you have the whole football aspect there too, that usually people are Mets and Jets.
Correct.
And then your Giants and Yankees. So that's usually the way it falls. I'm sure there's some cross pollination there, but usually people are Mets Jets fandom.
But when I think of the national attention, frankly, the East Coast bias would be toward Cubs just because of the big name, and then forget about the White Sox. But in this case, those, you could argue for both. Those two games were the best far and away in baseball, and they will be. These two series are the two best series in baseball right now.
We will talk baseball with Craig Calcaterra, who actually had some interesting thoughts about the nature of the game and about how some things you think after a single game are, then you're disabused of some of those notions one game later. And that's sort of the beauty of the sport. Also, his thoughts on the looming passive-aggressive crackdown on sticky substances. He will be our guest next on The Score.
This is not an entertainment scenario.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.